All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Let me know. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 7 of the Nerd Badge Podcast, the lucky one. Ladies and gentlemen, I have some great guests today. I know I promised more people, but it's Memorial Day weekend, and we got a little bit crazy. People had work, people had school, there's finals coming up for people, so my guests could not make it somewhat, but I do have two really good people, that people that actually I'm really excited to have back on here today. Ladies and gentlemen, he is a DJ. Well, first of all, my name is Michael Quinn. I got to get myself over first, brother. My name is Michael Quinn, host of the Nerd Bash Podcast. You may know me as Stephen Person. This is episode 7, season 2. We're going hard here, baby. I just want everyone to know, thank you for tuning in on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Pandora Music, Amazon Music, and Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much for making this really kind of, it's been taking off as of late. I am going to start doing more clips, which I haven't done, because the videos, again, I'm having problems with YouTube. I'm literally fighting with YouTube right now to put these up.
Oh, no.
Because I don't want to lose the channel. I'm going to have to wind up eventually. I'm trying to fight this as hard as I can to keep the original channel. And if you could, please support the YouTube channel before it dies. Mm-hmm. Subscribe to everything on everything for everyone, please. Thank you. I am a bad host because I didn't bring my brand new HAWA multinational championship, which should be right here, which I didn't bring. And I'm really sorry for that. Next time I swear I'll bring it. I just been in a rush today. I was running around today with the missus who's not here because she has work tonight. Ladies and
gentlemen.
Yeah, we love you, Gabby.
Love you, Gabby.
So on that note, someone else that I love, ladies and gentlemen, he's a friend. He was the DJ at my wedding. Great, great, great musical spinner of all things musical. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Andre Jones.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
you. Woo! Clap, 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 clap. And to his right, a comedian, a host of open mics across the world, a lady whose hair is as vibrant and beautiful as she is. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't even describe in words the way that she makes the world feel. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Pauline Murphy.
Hello. Hey, thank you up? For having me.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So today we've kind of like, since we're adjusting for the needs of the show today, I decided to make this episode kind of like, how should I say this? The passion of performing, if that makes sense. So I think this is a good episode. We'll go into that later. Right now, I just want to get your thoughts on some more pop culture things that are happening around the world, especially around the city. It hurts, but we got to talk about it. The Knicks last night.
Pain.
It's all right. It's only game one. No one ever won winning game one. That's all I'm saying. You know what I mean?
Got a point.
You know what I'm saying? There's still plenty of basketball left to play. It was a heartbreaking thing. There were some great shots, great plays all across the world. I don't think there was as many calls for the Knicks as there were against the Knicks. I think there was just really bad, just refereeing. And I mean, there was some bad defense. Don't get me wrong. The Knicks were just falling asleep on the field, on the court, and it really did get annoying. And I do think that if they stepped it up a little bit, they didn't take their foot off the gas, they would have won. They brought that intensity that they went against Boston with, And I was really kind of upset about that.
Who are they playing now?
The Pacers, which is like it's a rivalry. All right, listen, like this is some, there was some gestures made of choking, which is reminiscent from back in the old Reggie Miller days, which I almost kicked a lot of stuff in my house when that happened. I was like, you son of a, you know, so. Yeah.
It's okay. I think it kind of didn't go the way they thought it would back then. Let's see what happens this time.
I love Bronson a lot, but the only problem is that you don't get that guy the three-point shot when he's like 1 for 5. You could have given it to anybody else, and the guy was just missing threes all day. We're like, hey, just give him the ball. And I was like, nah. You know, there was calls of people getting hit in the throat left and right, not getting called. And I was all right, fine, no problem. We don't need those foul shots. We would have won the game with those. It's just annoying. It's a tumultuous game. I get it. You know what? Regroup, refocus, win. That's all it's got to be. You know what I mean? Like,
love the videos of the fans after the game.
That was my next thing.
Oh, man.
Yo, so one of my boys, right? One of my boys, he goes by Hemi Hendrix on Facebook. He was the kid who dove off into the crowd with a little bandana around his head. That's my boy. So,
oh, snap.
Shout out, bro. Yeah.
Is he
so,
okay?
Yeah, he's okay. And I quote from him, those people in the crowd, civilians, caught me better than most wrestlers do. So.
That's okay.
Gotta hurt.
Yeah. Yo, Knicks fans are going crazy. The best part was Towns wearing the shirt of the big fat guy going with the L word, the L start doing the dance. Yo, did you see that? Bro, I was dying laughing watching this because you see him just like stand up. He's like, look what I got on. You know damn well that guy was like, I'm on a Knicks shirt. He's while wearing a Knicks shirt. You know what I mean? Like, that's pretty funny. They traded places.
My favorite is the guy that's just screaming about the National Guard.
Yeah.
Call the National Guard.
Yo, we had De Blasio. Yo, we had Cuomo. Yo, blah, blah. It was really streets. Yo, it was, I can watch that all day. I'm about to go for the next Knicks game. What is it, tomorrow night, right? I'm going to try and get there and, oh, no, I'm working tomorrow. Damn it, I can't. Oh, man, I might send somebody special report and go there and just start recording all the people, like, losing their minds. It's a craziness, that man. It's like, yo, I hope someone, did you see the snake?
No.
Oh, there's a guy with an actual, like, boa constrictor with a little Knicks hat on its head.
Oh, my God.
That's freaking adorable.
Yo,
that
I was like, awesome. I couldn't tell, but I was hoping to see in the end of the video, like, if it had, like, one Tim on.
I would hope so.
You know, like.
Just complete the look.
Exactly, just complete the whole ensemble, you know what I'm saying?
A native New York snake.
Yeah, exactly. Bull constrictors, bro.
Gotta love it.
Oh, dude, those Knicks fans are. I'm not a big basketball guy myself. I do like watching it sometimes. I like watching the playoffs. Like, I can't watch the regular season. It just bores me to death if I need something to go to sleep. But I'll tell you right now, watching the postseason, these are amazing games. Like, and that's what one thing I've always loved is good competition, and it's awesome to watch. They beat Boston. When they beat Boston, no, everybody lost their mind.
Six.
Set, like,
beat them at home.
Oh, beat them at home.
Beat them here.
Yeah. Put them here. Seventh Avenue was shut down. Like, it was violence. Like, I was expecting at least, like, a couple of bodies in the middle of the street.
There's, you know, always somebody dressed like Spider-Man.
Yeah, Spider-Man, you know what I mean? I love it. The Spider-Man ones are great.
Wait, I just thought about that. But 7th Avenue is still intact, right?
Hopefully. I haven't gone back, I'm afraid.
I don't know, because at least we didn't, you know, do what the Eagles fans did.
Oh, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Yo, we were on top of monitors. We were on top of freaking giant-ass stuff. It was really funny watching all these people, like, just climb things like Spider-Man. I was surprised no one in the Spider-Man outfit tried to climb, like, Madison Square Garden. You know what I mean? Like, sorry if I gave somebody an idea. Just saying, you know, I apologize to whoever's kid that is.
I mean, worst case scenario, there's this thing called natural selection.
Exactly. That happened, bro. Listen, bro, if you can climb, bro, go climb. You know what I'm saying? Suck your cups. You know what
parkour.
I mean? Parkour. Exactly. Parkour. Spider-Man, the real Spider-Man would be proud. Yep. All right, moving on. I want to talk about something else. We and Gabby went to go see some movies. And again, we're big movie nerds ourselves, so we really like catching some good stuff. In the past couple of weeks, we saw a bunch of different movies. We saw Thunderbolts, Sinners, and the new Final Destination.
Saw that Sunday.
Bro. Let's start with Thunderbolts first, because we didn't get a chance to really talk about it. Like, I love the redirection of that show, of that movie, because they really took the Thunderbolts essence, which was like, basically it's a copy of the Suicide Squad. Everyone knows that. That's what happens in the comics. Thunderbolt Ross and Baron Zemo start up the Thunderbolts to be basically like this, the evil villain superhero expendable group, almost, if you would. So that happens. They become kind of like mercenaries, if you would, trying to take out the superheroes during the Superhero Registration Act. The movie's really good. We talked about it a little bit last time. I think it was not this WrestleMania. You know, did we talk about it last? Oh, yeah, we did a little bit. Yeah, with the WrestleMania episode, we talked about it. But all in all, it's just a really great movie. I think they set up a lot of stuff. They set up, they got me. They didn't get me. They 100%.
What do you mean?
Yo, right at the end.
Right at the end.
I can talk about it now. I don't care. Spoilers. The new Avengers. They basically become the new Avengers, which leads into my theory that it's going to be a copyright fight and they all just become the Avengers. You know what I mean? Because you have the new Avengers. I think the Thunderbolts are going to become the mighty Avengers, and then you're going to have the young Avengers. So I wonder if Thor might be on one of those teams, and that makes it the mighty Avengers. Ta-da. Because they are a team in the comics, you know? Yep. So eventually, I think we might get, I wonder if we're going to get Avengers disassembled. That might be something down the road. Because now they all just break up, and then the X-Men take over. And that would be a perfect way of making that happen, you know? So I think that's a great thing to have going forward with the MCU. I'm glad that we're getting like the X-Men in. I think the X-Men are going to be the next step, like the next Avengers, basically, because people don't realize like the Avengers were always kind of like obscure. Like they were never really like the focal point. They were always like the C team. Not that they were like, you know, in the background, like they didn't have strength in numbers or whatever, not, but they were always bloated. That was the thing about the Avengers. Like everyone was an Avenger. And I think with this, the MCU made the Avengers into like the mainstream. They never really were. And now I think we're going to get that treatment with the X-Men. I think the X-Men, the Fantastic Four, all that stuff.
Good time for it now, especially with the success of X-Men 97.
Yes. Yes. And I think if we go to true heart of the story with the X-Men trying to fight for mutant rights and just get on that boat, I think it's going to be great. I think the thing that made the Thunderbolts great was the fact that it established story and characters. There wasn't like a whole bunch of fluff in there for no reason. We went straight for character work. We made people think of who they were versus what they are, you know what I mean? So I think that made like a great story. I think that with the Avengers, that was what made the Avengers so great, is that they always had something next. And with the X-Men, you just have it all. You can get Magneto, and then you can have the Hellfire Club, and then you could have the Sentinels, and then you could have...
Then you have the alien races, the Shi'ar, exactly. The Skrull, and the Kree.
And you could keep them all on the farm until later on down the road, and then you make them go crazy, you know? You can go back to the cosmic stuff, because I really think, and I've said this before, I truly think that the Fantastic Four are going to follow Galactus here, or Galactus follows the Fantastic Four here after he destroys their world, and then they come here, and then Galactus is a threat here. You know, I think that's the whole premise of the movie. What else going forward? So Sinners. Sinners was an amazing...
I loved Sinners.
Oh, it was such a good movie.
That movie had me... Is it bad that I laughed halfway?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I felt like you were supposed to at some parts. Like, there were some things where you were like, all right, with great character work again. Like, everybody had a great story. Michael B. Jordan playing off himself. You forgot that you're looking at Michael B. Jordan being two different people.
Yeah, yep. He was good for twins. Everybody can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he actually nailed that.
Would you? I know you didn't see Thunderbolts, right?
No.
Yeah. So tell me what you think about Thinners. Thinners. I keep saying Thinners. Sinners.
Sinners. I loved it. I loved the cinematography. I loved like the lighting that was used. Just. Michael B. Jordan himself was great. And then I don't know the name of the actor, but I loved the guy that played the little Irish vampire.
Oh yeah, he's awesome.
Was, like, the lead of the group. Yeah.
I don't recognize him for anything, but he was great.
Yeah, I don't recognize him.
Yeah, he was absolutely great. And the story alone came back well too, because like at the end of the movie you find out like they were all gonna die.
I
was like, okay, so did somebody save the day, but they all died anyway? I don't know how to take this, you know? So I think it was really, really good how they set up like
Well, how Sammy lived his whole life out. Or
yeah,
whatever.
That was beautiful.
Got to keep playing guitar, and then yep. Stack became like a rapper. It looked yeah. like
yeah,
with
Stack his,
with the girlfriend. I can't remember her name.
Yeah,
in the movie.
Yeah, there was the one thing I really liked was the fact that they kept picking people off, and it made logical sense mm-hmm. because like here you have how should I say it the right way? Like, he gets in the tunnels, like, come on outside. Come with me. Come on, just give me. And he tried biting his hand. He shot him in the face. I was like, oh.
I'm sorry. I thought that was hilarious.
That was hilarious. I laughed at that.
Because old girl really peeped it at, like, yeah. when he came, isn't it? It'd be your own people.
Yeah.
You don't let me in.
He's yeah. like, nope.
So, you gonna admit that they killed you and turned you to a yeah. Hank?
Yep.
I'm sorry. My friend Chris saw it before me. And he told me about that scene. When I finally got to it, I was dying.
Yo, it was great acting by everyone all involved. I forget his name, but he's a brilliant actor. He's been in a ton of stuff over the past, like, 20 years he's been an actor, at least I can remember. So,
Delroy Lindo?
Yes. So there was, what's it called? The Smokes girlfriend. She played
Hailee Steinfeld.
Hailee Steinfeld, yep. Yes. I forgot her character's name. I just forgot everyone's character's name.
Yeah.
But she was amazing in that. Like, you actually felt bad for her because she's, like, telling you all these stories. And then, like, they didn't show everyone dying, like, right away. All they showed you was the instance of, like, the vampire flies up in the air. You know she's done, you know? Mm-hmm. And then, like, you see the vampires running in the background. You see the eyes in the background. You know, mm-hmm. old boy's done, you know? Like,
I was like, well, damn.
When you see Smoke and what's her name in the room and like they're having
it was getting in and all of a sudden
yeah and all of a sudden you come back and it's like one continuous shot and next thing you know he's eating her like she's eating him and you're like
oh my
you know it's happening because they set up the continuous shot and then the shot is going to end with that so oh where is he he's in there you know so yeah it was just a great movie all around like I liked how they created this atmosphere that music. Influenced all this stuff,
yeah.
Each generation,
yeah. It's like I'm gonna use you, and like you, there was a threat there. It wasn't like I'm just gonna kill you. It's like I'm gonna use that ability of yours mm-hmm. to make us all stronger. I saw somebody say online that what was it? There was a hole in the story. It's like where did the other vampires come from? Like if this guy was, it saw how fast they grew, right?
Yeah, that
like.
How they're not other vampires? Simple. The Native Americans killed them all, and he was the last one that got away. Mm-hmm. Duh.
Yeah, he said he was the one that got away.
Yeah, he said, I'm the one. Yeah, he straight up said, it's like basically like they killed everyone I know, blah, 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 you know? So I was like, they literally tell you in the beginning of the movie, like, he tried this before, he lost, and he ran away. So he killed those two people, and then he started all over again. So
he was with the group to begin with.
Exactly.
Yeah, he eviscerated that whole group.
Yeah, those Native American people killed them all. So okay. Then that starts up this whole group and whatever. So how strong that was, how big the Native Americans were, you don't really know how big that group was. But it's an idea of like, hey, listen, we can do a prequel off of this now, which I think is awesome. And I would love to see that.
Mm-hmm. It could work.
It could work. I could totally see a sequel starring just him. You know what I mean? But again, I'm not a big fan of prequels in that nature because then you know the main character that they shoot off of is in no danger whatsoever. So it could just be him, like, you know, everyone around him dying, you know, and then mm-hmm. the last scene is him just running off into the sunset, literally, you know. So I think that was a great movie. The other movie that, again, another funny part about that movie was that a lot of people didn't know this, but there was a lot. The movie's called Sinners. Everybody that really died was living in sin.
Mm-hmm.
The woman who cheated on her husband, the people selling booze, the people going out, drinking and partying and you know, all that other good stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a great, like, usage of the story, you know? Yeah. Like, the story was, like, everyone who was a sinner died and became a vampire, you know? So I was like, that's a really, that just hit it. And then Final Destination, Bloodlines. Did you see it?
I haven't seen it, but ruin it for me.
All right.
I seen it Sunday with your friend.
Who?
Actually.
Who?
Jamie.
Oh, wait. What's Jamie? Short Jamie. Yes.
Short person.
Yay. Oh, man. Yeah, we had a great time watching that yesterday. Was it yesterday or the day before? I can't remember. But anyway, we watched it. It was such a good movie. Yeah, we went out last night and we watched it. It was such a good movie.
Does the word Bloodlines actually tie into it?
Yes.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
the whole premise of it. Okay. And the thing is, like, it actually, like, plays into the story of the first, second, and third one, I think, right? Because JB's in it. JB, yeah. And then you find out, you know, remember the black guy who played as Candyman? He's in. He's like, he's the mortician. He's like, death comes for you all, you know, in all the other movies. So he is actually, he passed away in real life, right?
Yeah, he died. He died like in the last year.
Yeah. So he died in real life, and he shot this movie, and
before he died.
Before he died. So he actually walks out of the mortuary. He's like, I'm retiring because, oh man, should I spoil it? I don't know. Because people are going to listen to this. You know what? Screw you. Listen, I'm going to talk for the next about 15 minutes. So if you want to sit there. Oh, Andre just told me. Oh, Jamie just hit me up about the podcast. I would have had her on.
Oh,
man. It's all right. So anyway, so yeah. So basically it starts in 1960 something. I don't know exactly when. But basically this woman goes to like almost like their version of the Space Needle opening. Right. And this little kid has a penny. And the penny, he picks it out of the wishing well, and the guard tells him, if you do that, that's bad luck.
Yep.
And this penny becomes a pain in the ass for everybody. Because what happens is the kid's like throwing pennies off the top. He takes the coins, and he throws them off the top of the thing. So now, here he is flipping these coins off, and the guard tells him, hey, don't do that. So he flips it off. It makes its way inside of the tower. It pierces something, causes a gas leak. And it starts like this chain of events of like like Rube Goldberg machine, basically. That's what these movies are. That's what I love about it, too. It's like a giant mousetrap, you know what I mean, of death. So now it goes into the machine, into the thing, breaks a whole bunch of different stuff. And now the glass starts, like a thing of a chandelier falls, cracks the glass. And then all of a sudden, like everyone, like there's all these signs around this girl, like, you know, the music, which was awesome.
Yeah, I cannot believe they chose Shout.
Yeah, Shout. Every hands up and shout. Get your hands up and shout. And then all of a sudden, like, the floor breaks through and people fall to their deaths. And she finds out, and she knows she's pregnant. And she's telling, like, when the girl's there, but like, she's like, oh, how long are you pregnant? She's like, oh, I'm not really. She's like, okay, fine, I'm pregnant. He doesn't know yet. He's my boyfriend. I just don't want to ruin it.
Now, who is this? This is connected to the little boy?
Well, yes, I'll get to that. So it's this girl saying the story and everything. Okay. And then, what's it called? She, everything starts falling apart. Like, the whole building starts falling. Fire, death, everything's happening. People are dying. Like, just people falling, like, hundreds of feet to their death. It's awesome. Like, the way they illustrated it and the way they shown it was just perfect.
And the worst part is, there was, I think the cops were standing outside, and, like, I forgot what song was playing. Yeah. And just...
like rain, it starts raining bodies. So like all the music in it was absolutely amazing. Perfect. Yeah. So now she's like trying to get away from everything. They try taking the stairs. Stairs fall apart. They try taking the elevator. The elevator kills this one dude who's off. That was the most brutal thing ever. So
at least he went quick.
He went quick. So now everything starts falling apart. You realize this woman's like stuck, and she sees like this little like black boy, and she goes to save him. Because his mom burnt to death. So she tries to get him out.
Yep.
And she sees the whole entire, like, she has the engagement ring on. The boyfriend asked her to marry her. She says yes.
It was a little too snug. And it was.
And it's like a little piece of metal where it's like the ring is like stuck here. And it's literally saving her life. And then it starts ripping her skin off. And then she falls.
Yep.
The little boy falls. She falls on a piece of metal. She basic, Final Destination BS. She goes, oh my God, I had a vision. Everything dies. Which I'm mad that they didn't show where this vision came from.
You actually know? Yeah, they did. In the beginning, before that vision happened, she was like, I have a bad feeling about this.
Yeah, but they never outright say, this is why. You know what I mean? They don't give you an exact... She has a bad feeling about something, but then like she wakes up and she gets out, and then it's like X amount of years later. They don't really say it. So, what's it called? So now... the penny, what happens with the penny?
That penny instead, well...
No, because there's something that happens with the penny. At the penny falls to the ground or something like that afterwards. The penny gets stuck inside the... Oh, no, she finds the penny. No, that's right, I'm sorry.
She took the penny from him.
She took the penny from him. So she basically, you find out later on in the movie, like, you know, there's a bunch of kids, there's these two kids, she's in college, and she was waking up screaming, and then she basically... what's it called? She wakes up screaming. Oh, I'm like, oh my God, I need to find out what's going on. I got to find out. And she find out like her family's just kind of messed up because her grandmother had these visions. And she's like, I'm having these visions of grandma at this tower dying. Like every night this is happening.
And they're like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we don't talk about grandma. And grandma's literally like psycho. So you find out that grandma basically like goes, she figured out death's plan. And if she's alive, death won't come for them because she realized like death... has this whole entire plan, and because she stopped it, they were the her and the boy JB were the last two to die.
And Jay said JB was the one that was the only other person to cheat death. Death,
yeah.
And well, death don't like being cheated.
Well, that's later. That's later on. So now you have JB, not JB. You have the mom, the grandmother, like. She screwed up both of her kids, and now their kids, they're, like, way older now. She's, like, in her 60s, 70s, and grandma basically, like, lives alone, and you find out, like, the uncle doesn't like talking about his mother because, like, listen, she ruined our life. She made us think all these horrible things were always going to happen. We don't talk about it. That's it. And he takes it very serious.
Well, she was trying to keep you bitches safe. Excuse
exactly.
Me.
So now she goes, I got to find grandma. I can't sleep. I'm failing class. I used to be honor student, all this other stuff. She goes out. I'm ruining this movie for everybody. I don't give a damn anymore. Well, so go watch it. Screw you, you cheap ass. Listen to this anyway. Who cares? So now she goes, finds the grandmother, and the grandmother's like, listen, you're having the same vision that I had. And she's like, yeah, it's like where grandpa died. And like, it was me. It's like, yeah, you and the little boy. She goes, yeah, listen, take the book. The book is crazy. This is what's going to happen. And she leaves grandma. She goes to leave. She go real. And like, it's funny because like death is trying to get her like through the simplest ways. And she's like, I see you. And like stops the plan.
It's
for
like, nice.
Yeah. So she basically goes out. She goes, I can't be here. I can't stop, whatever. And she goes,
take the book with you.
Take the book with you. And she's like, no, I'm not going to take it. And she starts seeing death go for her. And she goes, okay, listen, I'll show you. And she goes, what do you mean? It's like, stand back. And then she dies like a horrible death. Like,
is that seeing is believing?
Yeah. And it's literally like, it's in the book. They show flashes of the book and everything, the way that everyone dies is in the book. It's crazy. So now grandma dies. They have a funeral, right? And they're like, oh, grandma was crazy, you know, blah, 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 blah. So then they're all like, and then you realize this is death's plan. He goes for her and then it's her family.
Top down.
Yeah. So it's her family. But you realize like, her granddaughter, her daughter and her son are directly involved in it, but their spouses aren't because the spouses aren't part of it.
It's not blood.
Exactly. Bloodlines. Mm-hmm. So okay. So then the uncle dies. Horrible way.
Oh,
and
man,
like,
that was sick.
That was horrible. And you knew it was going to happen because it was literally death setting everything up the first time. So you see that the uncle died. They're like, oh my God. And she's telling everyone, like, listen, this is what's happening. Grandma's book. This is happening. We're all going to die in this exact order. And everyone's like, you're crazy. No, it's like what's called Lost in Space. Remember when you see like, dad, there's an alien out there. Will, that's just your imagination, you know? Like, and meanwhile, there's a giant wildebeest like destroying everything. Oh, Will, I should have listened to you instead of making you run around with this old pervert, you know? Like, oh my, Will, you know? So now, Dr. Smith was his name, by the way. So so now it's they're like, well, you know, it's going to go by oldest to youngest on his side first because he was the oldest.
Yep.
So they go, everyone, their cousins are going to die. So it's one girl trying to figure out like, oh, my cousins are going to die. So they go, she starts seeing things like, well, you know, it's like, watch out for this. Watch out for that. It's like, what do you mean, watch out for this? It's like, watch out for that, like, leaf thing, that tree cutter, because it could fall down and scare the guy with the leaf blower. He scares the kids, and the ball gets kicked into someone's face. And he's like, oh, yeah, the ball's definitely going to kill me. And then the daughter starts going, okay, I'm going to go for a run. And then you see all that stuff happen. She gets hit in the face with the soccer ball. She falls into a trash can, gets picked up by the compactor. It was like, you're like, and they all just go, oh, crap.
Their sanitation trucks are that efficient.
Yeah, I know, really. So it's one of those grabber ones, you know, they lift up and toss you in. Yeah. So now they're trying to get the truck to stop. Of course, the guy has headphones on, and then she climbs up on the truck, and what's it called? You see her try to grab her? She dies horribly. Like, it's in your face. Like it's not even, like, CGI. It's actual graphics. It's actually, like effects. Like that was when she died, I was like, I can watch it again. Like, it's so brutal. So then, what's it called? They have another funeral. And everyone's just like, all right, so how did he live? And he went for the younger sister because there's three kids.
His mom's
like,
304.
I didn't want to tell anybody, but I had an affair. It's like, what do you mean? I had an affair with this guy. So and you're like,
dying.
What?
Sorry, I thought that was funny.
Yeah, so she's like, the reason why you didn't die is because of this and blah, 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 blah. And one of the kids, he almost dies.
Wait, so the brother wasn't the same birth father?
Yeah. So he's not immune. So he's immune to it. Yeah.
Lucky.
So now one of the younger brother goes, "Oh crap! What about me? I'm next." He's like, "No, we're not next." And then they go, somebody in the book is written as JB found someone who survived. They're talking about Final Destination 2, where the girl goes into the lake and she drowns, and then he bring her back. So he goes, he tells them the rules. There's only two ways of surviving. You die, or you take the life of somebody else and you get the amount of time that they have. Which is funny in a hospital because they walk through it like, so I'm not going to kill anybody and take, it's like, how would you know how much time someone has? And they look left and they're by the nurseries and they're like, I mean, maybe. No, we get through it.
They just got here.
Yeah. They're brand new, you know? So then they try and fight for a way. The younger brother's allergic to peanuts. So he's allergic to peanuts, and he goes, what we'll do is I'll let you die, and then everyone will be safe because they'll skip you. And they don't understand, like, the more you try and screw with death, like, this is like the.
It's worse than karma.
Yeah, yeah, it's bad. So they go to the hospital and they hide out inside of like an MRI room, right? And of course, Death starts messing stuff up. They turns the machine on, and he gives him a bite of a peanut butter cup, Reese's peanut butter cup. So he's like, "Oh, okay," and he starts having a reaction. And
Why would he take it?
Because he's trying to kill himself so that he can come back. So they give him the epi shot and bring him back to life.
Okay.
So that screws up. And then, what's it called? Because the machine gets turned on, of course, through Death's little Rube Goldberg machine. And everything starts going wrong. We find out the brother that's not related to him, because, you know, he's a bastard, he winds up getting all his piercings and everything ripped right out. Because the MRI machine turns on to, like, super level by accident.
Yeah, the
danger.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's over here suffocating to death from the reaction. He goes, oh my stuff starts coming out. His you know what down below ring. He had piercings everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Tongue ring, earrings, nipple rings.
Prince Albert.
Everything starts getting ripped out. So now the brother is on the floor like, oh my God, damn it. Oh, give me the pen. So the brother.
Was the piercing brother supposed to bring back the...
Yes.
Yeah,
but they're in the same room. Yeah. So
now he's dealing with his little hoo-hoo piercing.
So now the wheelchair gets sucked. He gets smashed into the machine. He gets broken in half. The thing brutally kills him. And so then the brother starts crawling over to the thing to go grab the EpiPen. He stabs himself with the EpiPen. One of the spinners on the machine outside, another machine's at like ultra level, and it sucks it off and goes right into his head and starts digging into his head, starts spiraling.
Starts digging into
you know
his
those
head?
Little things that hold the snacks up in the suspension machine?
Yeah, the spiral?
Yes. Doink. Yep. Killed. Dead. And now the nurse sees it and everything, and everyone's like, another funeral, another two funerals. So now, also the mom, I forgot to say the thing with the mom. The mom is like, she was MIA, she wanted to step away from everybody. She didn't want to be like her mom and scare all the crap out of the kids. And then they find out like, oh, I had an episode when, you know, I saw that happening and everything. It's like, I think they talk about the first movie with the plane. And they're like, you know, I saw myself being like that. And then I had to stop, I had to back away. Because I felt like if I was away, and then she learned all the stuff that her mom taught her. It's like the grandmother taught the daughter.
Yep.
It's like, hey, listen, I have to step away. So if I'm away, you guys are safe. Not realizing that mom was supposed to die first.
Whoops.
So now everyone starts going, all right, it killed the uncle's side of the family. Now it has to kill their side of the family. So now they're like, all right, the one place that we're safe is in mom's cabin. And they're like, all right, let's get to mom's cabin. And everything starts like trying to kill them on the way over there.
And it's messed up.
Yeah.
Because of how it's that whole property, how it was designed. I was like, and I knew this is gonna come back later.
and you know Death was just actually, well, we'll get to that later. But anyway, so now the mom's like, if I get inside, it's like we don't all have to hide inside there. I have to hide inside there, and you guys will be safe. So if I stay for the rest of my life there, you guys are safe. So they try getting there, and then everything starts going wrong. The house blows up, and then it's so messed up because the mom is like, let's get inside. And the mom gets burnt like on her face. She's like, it's okay, I'm fine. We're all going to get down there. Pole crushes mom. Mom's dead. So now it's the younger brother and the sister, the main actress in the movie, and they're like, we have to get away from here. It's like, if I, what's it called? The sister, what's it called?
Gets drowned
in an RV, and it's like, I'm gonna save her. And you see Death like screwing with the kid, like he cut Death cuts his finger, and then you're like, uh-oh, is he going to lose the finger or whatever? And then it's like, he cuts her out, and then she passes out, and then you see him doing CPR on her, and she comes back to life. And you're like, all right, it's over. So now, at the end of the movie, it's the brother going to prom, like they said in the beginning of the movie, and then they walk into the... Well, this is early in the movie. They walk into the morgue to find JB when they all go to the hospital the first time, and they see a guy doing an autopsy. And then you see the guy like, hey, I heard you were a big hero. It's like, yeah. It's like, yeah. It's like, you know, I saved their life. I brought her back from the dead. And he just goes, eh.
You sure about that?
It's like, you sure about that? It's like, what do you mean? It's like, well, you know, because now he's a medical professional. They set that up because he was the guy doing the autopsy. It's the guy, the girl he's taking to prom, that's her dad. It's like, well, you know, you really didn't save her because she was unconscious. So if you brought her back from being unconscious, you didn't really save her life because she never died. Her heart didn't stop. And they go, what? And now, as they're running out of the hospital, they have the book and the penny rolls down the street. And this old lady picks it up, right?
Okay.
So this happens now. Now, the penny is in her bag. And she goes, oh, I'll have a lemonade. And she goes to buy a lemonade. And the penny rolls down the street, flips over something, gets hit by something. Again, giant Rube Goldberg machine. And it gets stuck in between two train tracks. And it keeps the track open. Train derails. And all of a sudden, they're like, what do you mean I didn't die? These trains got derailed.
Much killed everyone in that town.
Killed everybody trying to get to them. Like, just kills the family trying to go to prom. And they start running off. And the girl and her brother are now like, oh, crap, death's still coming after us. And they're running. And then the train stops. Like, you think we're good? It's like, yeah, we're good.
Nope.
Remember, too, with the logs that come off the thing?
Yeah.
Well, the train was fucking carrying him. It comes off and kills them both.
Right at the end.
Roll credits. No post scenes.
So it ends with logs doing the killing.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. That's they brought that back because they knew that's the thing that's stuck in everyone's mind.
Yeah.
The logs.
Yeah. And they actually, if you notice, they did all the killings from 1 and 2 all over again. Because they missed. It was Death's plan, but Death screwed up. It was like Death basically botching everything. Because remember when the girl goes, you guys can, when the two of them start getting a fight and the blonde hair girl dies, she gets hit by the bus. They do that scene, but it misses him. It's a thing of logs and it misses him. So,
thing of logs.
Yeah. So now, what's it called? The other one was, what was it? It was the knives that fell or something like that. They show that. And that was Death doing his old stuff. Trying to hit the number one hits.
Death playing the hits.
Exactly. Yeah. And he just kept missing. I was like, oh, God damn it. You know, so that's the end. Roll credits.
Something messed up. I think that the guy from that did the autopsy, the father, I think he might have been like a avatar for Death, besides that penny.
That could be. That could be.
He was like, it's his attitude. He's like,
I'm going to kill you. You sure about that? You sure about that, bro? Bro, you sure about that? So, yeah, that was basically those three movies that I really enjoyed very well. So, so I think that was it was all good movies. All good movies. And if you get a chance to see them, if I didn't ruin it, that's what I should do, Michael's Corner. Like, just, like, start advertising, like, just going through movies
go
and talking about
watch
them.
Watch that.
Oh, my God, those movies are great. Sorry if I ruined a few. I don't care anymore. I got to spoil one thing, and I'm happy about it. All right, moving on. So, I want to talk to you guys about, like, your own specific set of skills. Pauline, I know I had you on last time and I had your friend here. I don't think we went to that much subjects last season about like comedy. Like we talked about like you guys, well, we didn't go into performing. Give me some places that you loved to perform. And like, I know you had a break for a little bit. You took some time off for a while. How active have you been the past couple of months?
I've been pretty active again, you know, like not out every single night doing it, but you know, like back to having like at least a few shows a month, and traveling in the city, road gigs again. So, nice.
Where's some places road gigs you've been doing?
Up in Poughkeepsie.
Oh, nice.
Go back there.
Oh, wow.
There's a guy, Danny McRitchie. He's really awesome. He's a producer. He does Laugh It Up Club up
there.
Oh,
nice.
So he's gonna have me up there, and then I'm actually performing at the School of Visual Arts Academy, their theater.
Oh, nice.
In New York City, on June 20th.
Awesome.
Yeah.
We'll put all that stuff up here.
Yeah. And then
right here. I had to reach for that one. There you go.
Yeah, and then also I just did a roast this week. And, you know, I missed those roasts.
Oh, yeah, man. Are those still going on anywhere? Like, in someone's basement somewhere? Like, there's, like, little bars and stuff like that. Do those still go on? Remember the roast battles?
No, Comedy Fight Club still goes on. I know that's Matt awesome. Maron still does it. He at Lucky Jack's, I believe, in the Lower East Side.
Oh.
And then I just this week went to Roasted, which is another roast battle kind of show that's run by Dan Wicks, and that was out in Astoria.
Oh, nice.
Gold Grove, wow. 34.
What, now tell me, I know how they work. Like, I remember I did like two, and that was really fun. I roasted this one kid. I forgot his name. It was just a really fun time. I still want to get, I never got the footage of that, so it wasn't really bad. I won, I think, both of them. I think it was close. I think they had like a sudden death. We had to give like one joke, and I buried him.
Oh, no.
Terrible.
So, what's it called? What was, I know that, it, like, you guys, is it, now more days, is it still like, hey, give me some stuff about you? Like,
oh, yeah, there's still, yeah, like the behind the scenes or whatever, like exchange of information or whatever, yeah, and then also like an exchange of each other's boundaries,
yeah,
if
exactly,
there are,
yeah,
any.
Yeah, because I know some people are like, don't talk about my dad, bro. Yeah, you know, my dad died, yeah, saving my life from a beach, you know, like, mm-hmm, don't say that shit, you know, and then just be like, all right.
Yeah, some people want all the dirty details in there, and then some people prefer to be a little private about some,
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I know some people, like, the one thing I've always been noticed was, what's it called? Like drugs and like family trauma and stuff, mm-hmm, like that. I know some people like, yo, roast my dad. He, yeah, died in a fire.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So that's always like fun to see that people are able to open up. I think like therapy, I think that's almost like therapy too. Like when you're able to like, ooh,
you
know,
can laugh,
like,
at it.
Exactly. Like that's funny. You know, yeah, like when you find something really funny in tragedy, it's like tragedy in time equals funny, you know?
Yeah.
It's always fun.
You'd be surprised the things you learn about other people during roast battles. Like, even just going as an audience member, like, I'll be somebody that I'll just be like, oh, this looks like a nice girl. And then, yeah, it'll just be like, oh, her parents were in a murder-suicide. Yeah. Like, whoa.
Whoa, that sucks for them.
Damn.
So what was I going to say? I had a really good question about that, too. Name some people that you, and like, when was the last time you did one?
I just did one on Tuesday night.
Nice. Where that was one at Lucky?
That was in Astoria at Grove 34.
Grove 34. Okay. So tell me, like, how many people were there? Was it, like, they pay for tickets? Is it just really kind of, like, people roasting?
I think it's free to go as an audience member. Okay. And then there was, like, five matchups.
Okay.
Oh, and there was, like, 20-something people in the audience. It was, like, it's a tight little intimate, yeah, venue.
Now, can people, how should I say this, can they sign up for it? Or is it, like, you just kind of have to know somebody, you have to be there to sign up and be like, I remember
kinda
that one
time. You have to know somebody, but I think you can require, like, if you message the guys that, yeah, run these shows and ask to be put in a lineup, like, they'll find you a match eventually,
yeah,
usually.
So, someone, that's how I got into it, because, like, mm-hmm, you showed me that, and I went to that one. I went with, I forgot who it was. I think it was my friend James, who was in town. I took him there, and somebody, like, oh, this guy looks, because I had the mustache at the time. This, yeah, guy's like, oh, this guy's pretty funny looking. Like, oh, can I roast this guy? I was like, yeah, bro, bring it. And, like, and he was like, what do you, oh, so, dude, tell me what you want to do. I was like, bro, like, he's like, you have any experience? Like, dude, I've been a pro wrestler for like 18 years, bro. You put a mic in front of my hand, I'm going to hurt people. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, what? He's like, I just only been doing this for like 6 months. And I was like, hey, bro, you wanted this. Like, let's have fun. He's like, listen, fun. Pro wrestler, army vet, blah, blah, blah. You know, yes, like, and he was just like, oh, yeah, crap. Like, I was like, God damn it.
Professional trash talk.
Exactly. So, the other time I did it against this one guy. He was funny. He got me a couple times. That's why I came down to like sudden death, and I beat him with one joke. I don't even remember what the hell it was, but that's what it is, and it's really fun. Like, if you can, I would say, because I remember they were friends roasting friends. That's the one thing, mm-hmm, I always took away from that. It was like the first time I went, it was like, yo, bro, like the people showing up together, like roasting their roommates. What, yeah, somebody hit you with this one line? I'll never forget. It was my favorite one out of everyone I seen. It was like, Pauline used to be in an abusive relationship. She's the real Dropkick Murphys. I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
A real Dropkick Murphy.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And I can't remember who said that joke.
Yeah, I forgot who it was, but everyone was in tears. Like, she had to be okay with that.
That might have been Jerry Martinez.
Maybe. I remember it was a Spanish dude, so I
think it was Jerry Martinez. Yeah.
Yikes.
So, yeah, it's always fun, like, watching people, like, especially people that you know, just roasting people. There was this one kid who got up there, and it was the most, like, stray bullet ever. This kid, and someone just went up there and was like, so our next roaster, he looks like a vampire with muscle dystrophy, and he gets up on stage. Bro, his eyes were so wide open, like, just naturally. He was just like,
And he did look like that, so.
I was like, whoa! And, like, everyone just was laughing over that. Like, that killed everything. And everyone just kept, every time someone said something about it, they were just laughing at him. This guy goes, like, I don't even have anything to say because that was the best joke of the night.
Yeah, sometimes you get roasted before you get up there. Yeah. Matt Maron does that. He writes a joke for each person as he introduces them.
Yeah, so that was really funny. And then, what's it called? Name some other straight-up comedy gigs you've been doing.
Well, once a month I do Room 52. This is a new venue in the city. I don't know if you've heard of it.
I think so. Is that? No, that's something else. I'm sorry.
It's up in East Midtown. It's on between 2nd and 3rd on 52nd Street. We do a monthly showcase there.
Oh, no, wait. That's the one that you sent to me. That's, I was like, I know that from somewhere.
Probably.
Yeah, New 52. That's on 50...
Room 52. It's on 52nd Street.
Yes.
Remember.
Yeah.
And I do that once a month with a comic named Glenn Raymond. He runs the show and has me host every month.
Nice.
So that's my little monthly gig. And then I'm doing a Trackside right here on Staten Island.
Oh, that's over by the Newdorp train station.
Yeah.
Oh,
nice. Yeah, the Pat Haggerty.
Oh, Pat.
Do that. Yeah, shout out to Patrick Haggerty.
Patrick Haggerty. Was going to say, what's some new places that you've recently discovered to work at that's like really fun, you know? Like, I feel like in the city you're getting people who are more or less like on first dates and live in the area and they're just trying to see a comedy show. Is there any place that's like the faithful crowd, you know what I mean?
I don't know. I know another new place that I was at recently that seems pretty cool is called it's called The Alchemist.
Okay.
And it's right on Newdorp Lane. It's off of Newdorp Lane and the railroad or whatever. But they have a little stage upstairs. It's like a little, like, almost like a jazz lounge type vibe.
Okay.
And is this by Hobro?
It's not far from Hobro.
It's
like two blocks away
from Hobro. Okay, I know what you're talking about now. Okay,
I've never even heard of this.
Yeah.
I
was like, I know where this is. I was like, I was driving through the city the other day. I was working in the city and then I remember just driving back here to Staten Island, and I saw that when I was going back home from work. That's why I was like, where did I see that? But yeah, so where are some places? Like, I know you did Gotham. I know you did a lot of different places in the city. Are there any other places that you're trying to go back to since you're really, like, I would say back doing this?
Yeah, I guess I always like doing New York Comedy Club. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. And yeah, I would like to go back to Gotham. Gotham is interesting. But Gotham is a lot of, like, it's, unless you're somebody that's, like, a real, like, home name, like, it's Bringers.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say,
We don't want to do those. If there's any new comics starting out there, just don't avoid Bringers with all that you can.
Yes, absolutely.
Wait, hold on. So y'all in the comedy scene have the same problem?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's everywhere.
Crazy.
Which, as soon as you said that, I was going to ask you, it was like, I know some places are like, yo, you got to bring X amount of people to DJ, right?
They want you to be the entire event.
Exactly. And that's what I hate about promoters, because some promoters will sit there and be like, hey, listen, you need to, like, bring X amount of people. It's like, bro, if you put me on and then I go in front of customers, those customers will come back. You know, like, that's the same exact thing in wrestling. Like, somebody told me, is like, I'm not above it. I'm not like somebody who will sit there and be like, well, brother, you know, I've been around the world. You know what I'm saying? Like, dude, if you need me to listen. And I kind of, there's some people out there that, like, they see the gimmick that I'm doing now, you know, the whole mustache club and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And they go, oh, brother. Yeah. It's like, I really want to get that mustache, like, in front of my crowd. It's like, oh, yeah, sure, bro. Like, you know, this is how much I charge for a gig. He goes, well, you know, I was thinking about giving you exposure. It's like,
that E word.
Did it? I knew that was going to hit some people. It's like, the E word? Excuse me. You found me on the internet, and now you're asking me to do something for you, and you give me exposure, even though I was exposed myself. I put myself out there, and now you're telling me that you're going to give me exposure? That doesn't make much sense, bro. Sorry. But meanwhile, I'm wrestling in Canada. I'm wrestling in Dominican Republic, Colombia, freaking Texas. Exactly. I'm exposing myself, bro. You know, like, the Mustache Club is running wild right now, you know? So it's like, I'm having a really great time doing this. It's like, I'm getting places by my work ethic, by my name, by my ability to add onto any show that I'm on, you know, my character, everything. It's there, you know? Mm-hmm. And people sit there and have the nerve to sit there, I'm pretty sure, tell you, be like, yo, just, oh, yeah, I need you to bring people. It's like, dude, I'm somebody.
So that happens in wrestling, too. They'll tell you, like, oh, you need to put 20 people in seats.
Yeah, it's like, bro, crazy, I don't live in, like, Wyoming. I'm not going to sell 20 tickets out there. I'm not going to
the one horse town.
Exactly, like, bro. Like, I'm literally like on the other side of the country. Like, you people, if you put me on a poster and you show what I can do, I make a promo. The promo advertises me. It shows stuff that I can do. Mm-hmm. And then that's what gets people in there. Like, oh, this is something new. This guy's from New York City. Oh, you know, like, it's not me. I know how to market myself because, you know, surprise, surprise, I worked in marketing, you know, like, mm-hmm. I know what makes people want to come back. And I'll tell people, like, yeah, listen, put me out there once. I guarantee you, bro, people will be eating out of my hands and I'll have them come back every single time. It happens everywhere I go. And I don't do anything sometimes. Like, there's some places where, like, I'm just running out there beating somebody up and leaving. And, like, I'm still getting paid. And like, people are like, wow, that guy is like, that's the guy I saw, you know? Like, mm-hmm. So even here in New York, I get a good following. Like, people follow me, what I do. I have fans that hate me, like, literally, like, write me, like, really mad messages. Like, oh, you hurt my favorite guy. I'm like, oh, well, screw you. It's like, wait till you see, you thought I smashed him? Well, wait till you see what I do your mom tonight.
Take the time out to write letters?
Like, emails. Like, I get, like,
okay, that's kind of
I get Facebook messages sometimes. Like, I just delete them. But it's like, because there's people out there who are a little bit, you know? So.
Mail.
The mustache club is going crazy right now. Mm. Screw you, Brutus the Barber Beefcake. You think I forgot about you, you rotten man. You shaved my head, shaved my... So I told you the whole story with this. Like, Brutus the Barber Beefcake shaved me bald and everything. It was supposed to be hair versus mustache. He shaved everything because it's Brutus the Barber Beefcake. And he... the contract states that... And when I found out here, I got served on the on the show. If I grow hair in the areas that were shaved during the match... by him, Brad Williams, and Bull James. I'm not allowed to grow hair back in those areas by the time of the next Cruising for a Bruising event, because that was the last one I lost my hair at.
Yeah.
At the next Cruising or Bruising event, I'm not allowed to have hair in those areas, and if I do, I'm automatically disqualified from any match in any state, any promotion, any country across the world.
What? Yeah. Insane. It is. Insane. It is just a random antic you would get into, though.
Exactly. It's like, I fired my lawyer. I need to get better contract readers. It's just, you know, thing.
So here's my next question about that, then. So you have to wait until that next event. When is that?
Next November. Not this November. Next November, 2026. Welcome to Pain of Life. And like I said, I may not be able to grow a mustache. Didn't say anything about me not having one. Which is real, by the way. Which is totally real. Totally real. Totally real. Ha-ha. So,
ha-ha.
I know loopholes too, baby. You know what I mean? So, yeah. It's going to be a great time. BRCW next
November 2026.
Yeah. November.
The Mustache Club is running wild, baby. Trust me when I say this. It ain't going to stop anytime soon. It's on the logo. Look at that thing. Look at that thing. It's still up there. Yeah. All right. You ain't going to stop me, brother. All right? And every time I beat somebody, I put a mustache on them.
Nah.
Making people part of the Mustache Club, whether they like it or not. But yeah, it's a good time. What's it called? What was I going to say? So, Andre, tell me some stuff that you've been DJing as of late. I mean, weddings and everything like that.
Yeah, but, well, lately, I'm getting around a little bit. Shout out to NYC VIP and SOS Promotions. I have to admit this. Anthony Delsed, he is a promoter that knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
But I do understand that I am the guy at the bottom of the totem pole.
Yeah.
But
at the same time, it's like when, as DJs, like when I DJed, like this is going back like 20 years. So, you know, so like when I DJed, it wasn't bringers. It was like, hey, show me what you can do. I want to see if you can make a crowd move. That's what it was. So when you go out there and you make a crowd really just get in sync and you're able to drop stuff on them, bring them down, you know, bring them back up, you know, you let them get that drink break, you know, bar makes a little bit of money, you amp them up a little bit, make them go crazy a little bit, then you drop it on them and like, you know, remember, you know, go get your drinks, you know, stuff like that, especially at parties, you know, when you're at a bar or a club or something like that, that's always been the move. Like if as long as you get them for like a good... half an hour dancing, they're going to drink their asses off. That's what I always felt like. 20 to 30 minutes was always like the time frame. I was like, listen, I want them dancing. I want them Jay-Z. I want the freaking everything bouncing out them. I want them freaking going off the walls. I want the guy to dance with a girl. Like, everyone go grab a girl right now. You know what I mean?
And then you go get that. That no more because that bowel movement from 2015. But, you know, we're not allowed to talk about that right now.
We're not allowed to talk about that. But my whole thing was it worked all the time because you would have a guy meet a girl, and then a guy goes by the girl drinks. That's how it works. Boom. Okay. It's perfect marketing. You know what I mean? Yep. And then, like, some DJs would just play music, and it would just, like, they would, like, it was hard back then because you had vinyl. And vinyl is completely different than electronic, you know? Like, I'm still trying to learn from the stuff that you gave me, and it's, like, it's a learning curve for me, you know? Because I just haven't done it. I haven't practiced in, like, forever. But the only thing is that, like, when you have vinyl, you know where everything is. Like, it's color markings. You put crayons.
Yeah, stickers.
Stickers are great.
Definitely stickers.
Stickers were hard, though, because sometimes, like, you would have to kind of, like, stickers are good for, start points. But if you want, you had to use small ones. You had to use little, like, little dot ones.
Yeah, I still have.
Yeah, you're not using, like,
my dad's vinyl records at home.
Yeah, so, like, I would use, like, the marker. I would use the marker. I would put, like, a little bit of just red and then, black. Red and then a little bit of yellow on it, because red always contrasts to yellow a lot better than black and yellow, because records are black.
Sense. Yeah.
So red and yellow were always like the little colors. I had like a font, the little dot, and then it would just color it. It didn't make any markings or any crust or anything like that. And then put the little yellow on it, like a little highlighter, and boop, that's a little tiny dot. I know exactly where to start at. So now with electronics, you just go boop, 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 boop.
You can set the cue points, but the funny thing is,
these people know how to do it.
There, you would be surprised. Bridges, how many DJs
bridging is like the lost art of DJing, and it gets me so annoyed because some people will just be like some Missy Elliott song, whatever, and then they just literally change the song in the middle of it. You're like, dude, it's just rip the vlog right out of somebody's feet. You're like, What was that? Like, you know, like it's like a fine dance, you know, you pull it back a little bit, strum in the next song at the right part, little mixer, you know, little mixing action, you know. And that's why I felt like it was more natural with vinyl. It's like you have your hands on stuff, like you push a button, or, you know, it's kind of hard because, like, you know how, like, a couple seconds, but there's that skip in time when you hit that back button. But with vinyl, you pull it back, and it's like there's still the music is still there, that little tiny gap, so that when you release it and you go on to the next song, that you have your earphones on, and you just switch it, and then it goes right into the next song. There's that perfect, consistent bridge.
Oh, believe it or not, no, you can still do that with the new technology, but you know what that requires?
Skill.
Most of them don't have it. I'm starting to notice a lot of them, and it's weird that a lot of, like, other, like, this DJ podcast, Beat Source, and they're now talking about, like, these young guys who they press a play button, they're following the same playlists as the big name guys and trying to just emulate that instead of making their own style.
Yes.
But here's the problem. Thank you, Grimes, for the taking a crap on the bed on a Coachella stage. You got, what, $50,000 for that? You don't have the skills. They set up everything for you and you failed.
Yes.
Because you don't know what you're doing.
Who is this?
She's a very famous, from what I understand, she's a famous DJ, personality.
Yeah, did you say Grimes?
Her name's Grimes,
Isn't she the one that has the babies with Elon Musk?
I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't think maybe. So.
There's an artist named Grimes that has babies with Elon Musk. Anyway. It would
be funny if it's the same. Yeah. But it could be the same. She was on the Coachella stage, and she, like, did it what we would like to call in certain communities a crash out because whatever it was, she said the flash drive's not working.
Exactly.
I'm like, and that, you don't know how to use your ears and the headphones or the monitor speakers, because I believe those monitor speakers that they have on those stages are at least $5,000.
And my thing is that if you just have a playlist and you're just making small adjustments, that's not DJing to me, because you're just hitting one continuous thing.
Yep.
And then if you're just adding sound effects, that's what some people do. I've caught people doing that before because I've listened to their music and I know their set list, and you can see them drop a song in at the same. There's no way you can drop a song at the same exact time, the same exact tempo every single time. Like, there's something different. Like, you know, like it's running at a different speed. But you know what I'm saying? There's something different. But when you seriously see them and you watch their hands and they let go and they start doing this, and then you see the song just beginning to mix, that's garbage. That I'm not gonna say it's garbage, but how should I say this the right way? That's pre-recorded. You're just playing one giant track that you mix at your house. Granted, that takes skill. You got to mix it at your house. I get it. Actually, but now you're just putting on a show.
You want
vanilla? You're Milli Vanilling it, basically.
Actually, think that's bad. Believe it or not, there's a lot of DJs, and I'm not calling out anyone specific, but there's a lot of DJs when they make, you know, the mixes. You know how I make my mixes, right?
Yeah.
But I actually record them. I do it live. If I make a mistake, oh, look at that. Got to start over. Most of them use a program and they put the songs in the program.
And it mixes it automatically.
Yes, it's called Ableton. I don't knock them for doing it. However, if you're going to do that, make sure you can actually do it skillfully. That's why the new conversation is the real DJ who has the skill, the producers who are just performing their tracks at those festivals, and my personal favorite, they're not my favorites, the GMO generation DJs, which is the ones that have caused a lot of issues now.
GMO.
Yeah, GMO DJs. That's
what's a GMO DJ?
A GMO DJ is what we were just talking about. Someone who they'll use a pre-recorded set, or my personal favorite, they'll follow a set list from someone else or keep recycling set lists. Listen, I get it. This is an argument I had when I was starting to finally get a footing about 10 years ago, and Ravi was there.
Yeah.
There's this one blend that a lot of Staten Island DJs mainly do, and I can't stand it. It's, you know the song Dude by Beanie Man?
Yeah.
Then they mix that song at the chorus with the beginning of What's Love by Fat Joe. Me, personally, I think it sounds disgusting.
Okay.
But I asked one of them.
That's a combo I need to be tipsy for.
Like, yeah, it still won't work. Yeah. But now I asked them. It was a group of the DJs, these same collective of DJs. They all stuck around each other back then. And I asked them, listen, why do y'all always do that? Because I know all of you do that exact blend. One of them, real, like, high money, because it works. I was like, okay. What happens when it doesn't?
Yeah.
You could have heard a rat pissing on cotton in a church. And Ravi, he just looked around and was like,
rats don't piss that loud.
Exactly. And Ravi just out of nowhere, you switch it.
Yeah.
Try something else.
And that's the thing. And like, I want to bring in this whole entire thing. I wanted to talk to you just about this too. It was like the fact that, like, are there people out there that still like steal stuff like left and right out there on the smaller scale of like comedy that you see, or
stealing jokes?
Yeah.
I haven't encountered any theft recently.
Okay, I mean, like, how do I say? Well, let me say a better way of saying it. Is there like any hacks out there that talk about the same exact thing, like the pop, like the easy joke, you know, the easy laugh, or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, there's gonna be hacky stuff no matter what.
Is there people who try and use the hacky stuff as filler, or is like they don't understand that they're being like very just?
I don't think they don't know that it stinks yet.
See, that's the same thing that we have in all three common in wrestling. Is like, again, I'm not against it. I'm not bashing anybody. There's people out there that can do it way better than I can. Yep. It's agreed. Like when I say like spot wrestling, where people just have an entire match. I can do that, and I've had great matches where I feel like my better matches are where I just go out there and just like call it, you know, like, hey, listen, let's just listen to the crowd. We'll go out there. We have you have the skeleton and stuff like that. And then same exact thing. People know about it now. I'm not going to, it's literally right out there. They're making shows about it now on TV. So, but yeah, like there's some things where like guys will go out there and they have to have pre-recorded matches. Like, all right, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. Going to do that. I'm like, bro, calm down. Like, listen, give me, I'll make you look good in the beginning. Beat the crap out of me, cut me off, two hope spots, what's it called? I'll beat you up some more, come back like a house of fire, we'll tease them a little bit for the end, and then we go right to the finish. And some guys are like, but what about, and I'm like, dude, just shut up and trust me. And then almost a good 80% of the time, I get something out of them where my best matches are, I'm literally making people follow me. You know, like, I'm like, all right, hit me. All right, do this. All right, do that. All right, do this. Go get him. Come back towards me. You know, like, I'm coming after you. Like, make this look good. Take this hard. You know, like, those are the matches where I'm like, you could tell I'm having a blast of my life. And people go, that match was awesome. And I get told all the time. I've been reviewed recently where they go, it was a great old school match where it was the classic bad guy versus the classic good guy. And I'll tell you right now, I got told straight to my face by everybody there, that was match. And I'm not like, me. But it's like, I got told I had match in the night. And I proud myself that I can do that at a lot of places where guys are doing the same exact stuff. And I always tell people, what's the crowd going to remember? You or the move?
Ooh.
And people go, what does that mean? I was like, that's a problem. You should know that automatically. Because like, I want people to understand that Stephen Person is this type of jerk off. Stephen Person did this. Stephen Person did not. Not, oh, that guy did the high fly 450 splash.
It's the person.
The 450 splash is going to get talked about more than the guy who did it. And I tell people that all the time. And they're like, if you do something, if you make your character, if you make the person that you are, the way that you act towards people, the way that you wrestle, and you make it to one hybrid, like, living entity, people are going to remember you. And I get told all the time, people remember my entrance. People remember my crowd work. People remember, they remember me doing moves, because I'll do moves and, like, oh, Stephen Person did that, because I have them here. I already have them understanding who I am. And I'll do stuff like, I'll just do crazy stuff. Like, I'll take a guy, I'll put him on the ropes and just throw him back with the ropes. I pull the ropes back really quick and he goes flying. People are like, wow, I never saw that. I'm not killing myself out there. And it looks great and it looks believable because I'm fighting the guy, you know? And some people go out there and they're just like, oh, wait, no, that's later. You know, like it's, again, I don't knock people for it. It's just I know the type of painting I brush with, and I know the type of painting that other people brush with, and I go, that's not the way I like to stroke myself. No pun intended. Mm. Yeah. Wait, phrasing. Wait. When I'm stroking myself in front of children and women, right, for money and tight. Wait. No, oh, so man. Yeah, so that's the way. That's the thing that, like, I want to bring together is, like, you know, the negatives of everything, where people sit there and try and do the negative way of performing the things that we do. That's what I really want to bring out, because hopefully somebody listens to this and there is a young aspiring comedian or someone who wants to be a DJ or somebody who wants to be a wrestler, mm-hmm. who wants to go out there and, geez, my phone's blowing up, and who wants to be like, you know, hey, listen, these are the things you need to avoid, because it's the easy hole to fall inside of, you know,
yep.
taking the easy way out.
It just doesn't work.
You know, so that was, like, the whole premise of things I wanted to get out of you guys for this episode.
Okay.
So.
You hit me with a good quote. That was a good quote, man.
Which one? I'm quotable, what, baby.
What are they going to remember?
Yes.
I have to actually take stock on that one, man.
That's one of my favorite things.
You really hit me.
What are they
going
to remember? The move or the man?
Who taught me that? Oh, I know who taught me that. God rest his soul, Matt Bourne. I was training with him for a little bit. Doink the Clown. The Doink the Clown to me. And I trained with him for a little bit before he passed. And Matt was always a great guy. He went to his little place he had over in Jersey. And he taught me a lot about, like, thinking of, like, not just you're a brand, but what you're going to bring that's different than everybody else. And that's where, like, the Stephen Person character really kind of came from, was a lot of stuff that he taught me. And other guys, too, like Matt Stryker taught me a whole bunch of things of being you, you know, like being the person. Like, everyone remembers the move. No one really remembers the person doing it. And that's your job to break that down. So it's same thing with you. It's like people don't remember the song. Well, your job is to make them remember how they feel about the song. That's what it is. You're supposed to make them, you bring them up to a certain part.
Especially if it's something from the past.
People won't remember the joke because it's like a basic joke. Like, oh, Donald Trump did this, you know? Like, but if you tell a joke, be like, oh, a girl like me, blah, blah, blah. Oh, that one female told a joke about her perspective on this. That makes it you. Mm-hmm. You know, that's all character work. So that's, like, something I really take stock in. So let's see. We're about to wrap this up. Give me some places you're doing and things you're doing.
Oh, man.
Maybe
so,
people, too. Whatever you want to do.
Saturday, I'm going out with the Exist group for Headliner in Jersey.
Oh, you're on Headliners?
Yeah, I'm doing a set there.
What is that?
It's a Oasis Headliner. It's near Neptune. I think it's in Neptune.
It is in Neptune, but when?
This Saturday.
And what's that date?
That is...
Always say the date.
Oh, wow. I'm going to say May 24th, 2025.
Gotcha. Awesome.
And then I have Salsa Con Fuego on May 30th.
Nice.
And one of my favorite places. And if the Knicks go to game 6, River and Henley in North Jersey.
Ooh, nice.
And it is. Oh, wow.
That's North Jersey. Yeah, I know that.
The biggest two things I have coming up besides those would be Friday the 13th, Jamaican Me Dance All Night.
Nice.
In Connecticut.
Nice. I like that.
And then you're going to like this. The day after my birthday, I was asked to return to the one rooftop at Tommy's Tavern in Edison.
That's a good one.
I did it last Saturday. Man. Okay. The Roof is on Fire has a new meaning for me.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. If I had a dollar for every time I played somewhere and the fire alarm went off.
Oh no.
I'd have $2. And it's not awkward that it happened. It's not awkward that it happened twice.
Nice.
It happened Saturday.
It's all you.
Night.
That's what it is, but that's what it is.
They said, hey, listen, That set was fire, nice. But someone probably pulled the alarm. But hey.
Pauline, what you got?
Okay, so next month I'll be at Trackside on June 11th, which I believe is a Wednesday. Ooh. And that's simple. That's just a nice free show that you guys can come to locally on the island. And then June 20th, I'll be at the School of Visual Arts in Manhattan in the theater for their show. And then that Saturday, June 21st, I'll be at Room 52, which is up on by 3rd Avenue and 52nd Street. And that's awesome. That's a nice show that we do every month, so you guys can hit me up for info about that.
Awesome.
We use Comedy Night Out, yeah. Actually.
I got some nice shows coming up, too. I just want to make sure I'm saying them right, because I'm wrestling... Oh, wait. That's not right.
Oh, and this is for any artists that are out there. It doesn't matter if you're a comedy poet, yes, or a musician. Here. There's the table open mic at Hop Shop.
Oh, the table open mic. This Sunday? Awesome. Yeah. I'm going to be at a wedding, so Porter's getting married. So,
yeah. Oh, word?
Yeah, he's getting married this weekend, so we're going out to Pennsylvania for that. So my show is going to be SWA on June 13th, NYWC Sportatorium. Great place. Great, amazing place.
Where is that?
It's in Long Island, Deer Park.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's a great place. Just Google NYWC Sportatorium. It comes right up. And then the 26th to the 29th, I will be in good old Arizona wrestling. Ooh. Wrestling. July 11th, I will be in Canada. I'm sorry, July 10th, I'll be in Canada, and then
nice.
July 12th, I come back, and I'm going to be wrestling for NNH Wrestling. Wait, hold on. That's not right. PWXX. It's going to be a great time down in Jersey. We're going to be wrestling, having a great time. I'm going to be in a triple threat with Raina Black and that dumbass mic I hate. Dirty mic. So it's going to be a great time. I'll have everything up here when I put it up. It's going to be a great time. What else? I got some more dates. I couldn't do a lot of dates because I was gone. I'm gone this whole entire month. Every Saturday I was doing something. Last week we had a communion. I was supposed to wrestle in Connecticut. And then I did win the... I wrestled Friday night in Connecticut. I won that belt.
Nice.
I was supposed to wrestle the 17th, couldn't make that. I missed Porter's birthday party, which was real, bachelor party, which really sucked. Ouch. This weekend, I was supposed to be wrestling in Long Island. I was supposed to be wrestling in Jersey. I couldn't make. Next week, I'm supposed to be wrestling in Boston? I don't remember. I have it written down, but I'm going to my friend's birthday party. He's turning 40. We're going to AC for the week, so.
Hey.
Yeah, the 7th.
For a week?
Yeah, the 7th, I'm doing something. Oh, the Travis 4th of July parade. Ladies and gentlemen, it's one of the oldest parades in the country. 4th of July, it starts on Glen Street by the old movie theater at the bowling alley, by the old LA Fitness. It starts down there. It's a great thing for the family. Bring them down. You just sit anywhere on Glen, Cannon, or Victory. You'll have a great seat. There's tons of characters, tons of bands, tons of marching people. It's a great time to come out, celebrate the greatest nation in the world, the United States. We have so much fun.
Dogs dressed up as Uncle Sam.
Yeah, it's so cute. There's so many dogs. There's so many puppies. People can dress up. You can buy raffle tickets. We have T-shirts for sale. Help support the parade. Every dollar goes back to the parade. It's an amazing time. And that's all I got. So, ladies and gentlemen, episode 7 is in the wraps. We'll see you next time, episode 8. We love you all. Thank you, everybody, for joining in on Spotify, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and Amazon Music, and YouTube, which I'm going to try and put everything up. I just might put the audio up. I don't know, but we'll figure it out. Thank you so much. You guys have been a blast. We'll see you guys for episode 8, the Ocho, next time. I might make this a wrestling episode, so I'm going to try and get some AEW fans in here. So I'll see what happens. Ow. Ow. Ow.
Did I just do that?
We're done. Call it a wrap. We're out of here.
Yep.
Woo. Duns. Mustache is up. It's going to be a great time. Go home. Everybody, leave.
Wait, so I can't believe that you have this.